So we've got this this parable, this story that Jesus tells to make a point. You might want to have it open in the Bibles that you've got around you. It's page 994, Matthew chapter 25. And it's a story about bags of gold. A master, a boss, is going away on a journey, and he gives his servants some of his stuff, some of his wealth to look after. He gives them these bags of gold. And Jesus tells this story. It's a story with a point. So these bags represent something. They represent a responsibility. The master, he goes and he gives his servant these things to be responsible for. And it's what Jesus is saying is that God has given all of us things that we are responsible for. No one's left out. He's given everyone things that they're responsible for. We've been given, first off, his word. We've got the Bible, what we're looking at right now. Sometimes we kind of wander around saying, oh God, would you speak to me? Would you say something to me? And I wonder if sometimes God's saying, I already have. I've written the book on it. Sometimes we just need to recognize that we have a responsibility to open it and to see what God's saying to us today. We've got the message in there, the good news about Jesus Christ. We've got the gospel that God loved us so much that he gave Jesus for us. And we've got a responsibility with that. We've got a responsibility as to whether we're going to respond to God's love for us, whether we're going to hear what he says, whether we're going to recognize what he's done for us in Jesus Christ. Before any of us can blink, we're going to be in Christmas and we're going to be remembering how much God humbled himself when he came as Jesus Christ, as a baby, because he loved us enough. And we also have opportunities. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That actually God has made us, and he's made good things for us to be doing. That we have this responsibility to go and to do these good things that God asks us to do. Good things that might help others, that might bring peace in a world of conflict and war. Good things as we tell others what we know about Jesus Christ, that they might find hope in him. And what's really clear in this story that Jesus tells is that God has done it according to our ability. He gives one servant five bags, another servant two bags, another servant one bag. And it makes it really clear it wasn't just because he had them kind of all bundled up already. It was like pre-packed bags of gold. Here's my pack of five, my pack of two, and, the one on its own. He'd done it according to the ability of the people that he was giving it to. Now, actually, I think this is where, if you're a bit younger, you're kind of more familiar with this, aren't you? Because in the classroom all the time, you have differentiation, yeah? That different people get different work. Or slightly different work, or sometimes in your kind of learning objectives that appear on the whiteboard at the start, it starts with something like all pupils by the end of the lesson will do this, most pupils will do this, and some pupils will do this. Is that right? I don't go to school anymore, so you've got to help me. Yeah, but that's the kind of thing that I've seen. So by the end of this lesson, all pupils will want to leave. Most pupils won't be listening, and some will have fallen asleep. Something like that. So you're quite used to the idea that actually, sometimes we have different amounts of responsibility. And that's usually done, even today in education, according to what our ability is. Might be a very similar thing for many people in the life of work, that people have different responsibility according to their ability. And actually God's done something similar with us. But the thing is, what we also learn here is that if you only think, well, I'm not responsible for that much, it's still important. At the end of the story, the servant who's only given one bag, he doesn't get away with the fact that he's not done anything with it, does he? It's not the master doesn't go, oh, well, never mind, you only had one bag, it wasn't really that important, was it? That's not what happens, is it? So even if we think, well, I've not got that much, I'm not that responsible for that much, actually, God says that's still really important. We still need to do something with what we've got. It's God's investment in us. That actually God has given us something and he's relying on us for how it is used. The key word here is faithfulness. Being faithful to the master. The servants are to be faithful to their master who's gone away and said, I'm coming back later. We were thinking just last week together about Jesus, that he's gone to be with the Father in heaven and that he is one day coming back. And this follows really straight on from that. That actually, we've got to be responsible for the things he's entrusted us with, because one day he's going to ask us about it. To be faithful to God before Jesus comes again. It's a bit like being in a lesson at school where the teacher isn't there. If you've got a supply teacher and the teacher has set you work, whether you will be responsible and faithful and complete the work that your teacher has set you, or whether other things will happen. When I was in sixth form at school, there was this rule that if the teacher hadn't turned up 10 minutes into the lesson, you were allowed to leave. I think they couldn't be bothered to go and tell sixth formers if the teacher wasn't there. So if 10 minutes in they hadn't turned up, you were allowed to go. And so there were some students who would be kind of clock watching, what are we up to, at the top of the stairs, looking down to see if they're coming up. Five minutes to go, four, three. They're not here, right, we're going. And others, of course, who would be sat in the classroom, who would wait for the entire lesson, who might be doing some work related to the subject or some other homework. I'll leave you to guess which student I was. But it's the sense of how will we be when we feel that we're not being watched, when we feel that the master is away, when the teacher's not there. And actually God's saying, we've got to be responsible for what we've got, even when we feel like he's not breathing, breathing over our shoulder. So two servants go off, and they actually double what they've been given. The guy who's got five comes back with 10, two comes back with four. And the third, who was given one bag, goes and buries it in a hole in the ground. Now this seems a bit odd to us, doesn't it? Because you think, well, why would you go and bury it in the ground? That seems like a really strange thing to do. But actually, back then, that was kind of a safe thing to do if you wanted to look after something. Bizarre, I know, but before you had safes and lots of security stuff, the best thing to do if you really wanted to protect something was to go somewhere, dig a hole in the ground and hide it away and make sure that it was only you who knew where the hole in the ground was. You've got to make sure you know where the hole in the ground is, otherwise you're in trouble. But if no one else knows, then it's quite hard to find, isn't it? And actually, still today, when people do archaeology and dig up stuff, they still find places where people buried things. And they never came back to pick it up. Maybe they forgot where it was, or they never got the opportunity to go back and get it. But they still go and find where people have buried stuff in the ground to try and keep it safe. Now, of course, today, the idea of a hole keeping something safe isn't very good. A hole is not what you want when you're thinking about keeping something safe. Those who followed this news story are smiling because that is a hole, a very big hole, that was made in a very big safe earlier this year. It's in Hatton Garden, a set of private safety deposit boxes where people would go and they'd go to this company and say, I've got all this money or this gold or this jewellery and I want you to look after it and keep it safe for me. And they'd go put it in one of these little boxes in this big safe, really secure, really safe. And it's a place where they sell, around that area, they sell lots of diamonds and things. And so lots of people had lots of really expensive stuff there. Slight problem when over a bank holiday weekend earlier this year, a bunch of people managed to break into the building. Well, they actually hid in the building, climbed down a lift, broke through some metal bars, and then drilled this massive hole through about, I think it was about a metre and a half's worth of concrete to break into the safe, and spent quite a while there over the weekend getting away with a fair amount of money and jewellery. And the people who put their things there, the people who put their money there, their jewellery there, thought that they'd done something safe with it, haven't they? That it was going to be there for them. Actually, if they got on and used it and sold it, and they would have been all right. But just leaving it there and doing nothing with it actually ended up causing them a whole lot of problems. We can't just ignore and do nothing with the things that God's made us responsible for. What we know about Jesus isn't something just for us to lock away inside and keep to ourselves and cling on to for dear life. Actually, it's something that we're to do something with, something that actually we're to go out and to tell others about. So what about the other servant? The servant who had one bag, who went and dug this hole in the ground. Did anyone pick up as we read it why he went and did that? What was the reason why he would act so differently to the other two servants? Yeah, Esther? He was scared, yeah. He was afraid. I was afraid, it says in verse 25. As he explains to the master what he's done, he says, I was afraid. And fear can make us do some pretty strange things, can't it? Fear can actually make us fail and never try to succeed. He didn't even put it in the bank, the master says. It would have been somewhere that wasn't risky. He could have given it over to the bankers. It wouldn't have been a risky thing to do. The master would have at least got some kind of return on what he'd done. But actually, in this kind of panic, this fear of what, he just went and buried it in the ground. Just thought, I just need to keep it safe. I just need to do something with it. And he didn't think. He didn't act properly. He was sort of paralyzed with anxiety. And perhaps there's people here who've had that kind of experience. That experience of fear actually stopping you from doing what actually you realize that you really should have done. I know for a lot of people who's facing exams can bring that kind of fear on, that kind of pressure that actually makes you unable to do what you feel you should have done. Growing up, I took loads of music exams. I played the cello and the piano and would often sit music exams. And I was fine with written exams and things like that. They didn't scare me too much because, to be honest, I knew I wasn't going to do that well. But when it came to the music exams, it was something about having to actually do something physically. You couldn't just sit there and scribble away at a desk. You had to actually do something. And there was something about that that just brought this fear in me. And I can still remember those moments sat in this kind of waiting room, waiting to go into the exam. And that moment when you go in there, and if you've ever sat a music exam, you'll know, you're kind of on your own. It's just you and the examiner. And maybe first off, you have someone to accompany you, depending on what you do. But it's then just you and the examiner, and they're going to ask you to play the scale of F. And you go, how do I play the scale of F? And then you start shaking a little bit. And this kind of fear comes over you, and suddenly you can't do what you know you can do. This fear that just restricts, that stops us. It's thought that Jesus, in what he's saying here, was partly talking to the Jewish leaders who had the Word of God, the Old Testament, and they just kept it safe. They kept it unchanged. They kept it away from people through this fear that they wouldn't treat it properly. They hadn't used their responsibility well. That actually our fear can make us irresponsible with what we have. That we can be unwilling to follow Jesus. That we can be unwilling to respond to his call to follow him. That we're afraid of what it might mean for our lives. That we're afraid of what actually we might have to change in our lives if we were to follow him. Well, actually, even as a church, that we can be afraid. That we can be afraid of change. That we can be afraid of uncertainty. That we can be afraid of if we did something different, what might it mean for us? We can be afraid because we feel there's some kind of risk in doing things differently. What might happen? And we fail to take the responsibility that God has given us. The servant was afraid. Are we afraid? Because the thing is, we don't need to be. We don't need to be afraid. Because first off, the master, God, has given to us according to our ability. He makes it really clear that he hasn't given us more than we can handle. So we don't need to be afraid. Because he's given us what we can handle. And the parable that we get here isn't the whole picture. Because yes, the master goes away and is coming back again. But for us living now, Jesus has gone to the Father's side. And yes, one day he's coming back again. But he sent someone to help us. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us. He's not left us on our own. But has come, God with us by the Holy Spirit, to help us as we take on the responsibility that we have. He's given us this promise of help. In the Bible it says, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. We talk here about us being faithful in the responsibility that God has given us. But there's so much more in the Bible about how faithful God is to us. That actually God is the one above all who's faithful to us and who will help us as we take on the responsibility that he has given us. So let's think for a minute about these servants who did take on the responsibility that the master gave them. The one who had five bags, the one who had two bags. And they go off and they actually double what they've been given. One comes back with 10, the other comes back with 4. And I think there's probably quite a few people here who'd be quite pleased with that as a rate of return on their investment. Doubling your money is a pretty nice thing if that were ever to happen. But actually, in the day, that was a sort of normal thing that would be expected to happen. That was a normal expectation because so few people had that kind of money to be able to sort of invest in that way. They got ridiculous rates of return. They could do that kind of thing and double their money. So this isn't about these guys were superheroes and went off and did something amazing. Actually, what they did was went off and did what was expected. But actually, that's what it looks like. These good and faithful servants actually went and did what was expected of them to do. Actually went and took on the responsibility and took it properly. In verse 28, we read about the one who had 10 bags being given one more, being given one from the servant who didn't do anything with it. And we get this principle that actually the more that we do, the more we end up taking on. That it's a bit like as we take on this responsibility, the more we flex our muscles with it, the more we're able to carry. That kind of exercise thing is a really easy way of thinking about it, that actually anyone who's done any kind of weight training or running or swimming or anything like that will know that actually the more you do it, the further you can go, the more you can lift. Or even something like learning to read or learning to write, you'll know that the more you do it, the more you practice it, the more you work on it, the more you can do. You're not going to start off reading a massive thick novel the first time you pick up a book. But actually, the more you do, the longer the books you read, the more difficult words you read, the more you work on it, the further you can go. And it seems like that. It's a bit like that with God, that as we are faithful in the small things, God gives us bigger things to handle. Erin has showed that she can be responsible with her hamster. And I think there was something the other day, someone was asking the question of what's she going to be allowed next, or when she's going to be allowed another hamster, or something like that. I seem to recall seeing around there. There's this sense that when you can show yourself to be responsible with small things, that actually you can show you can be responsible with more. I think actually that was part of Erin's argument in a letter, was saying, look, I've shown that I can be responsible with this and this, and so look, I can be responsible with a hamster. I remember one family who their children had always asked for pet fish. Only pet fish. There's some parents who are going, oh, I'll just let them have a fish then. But their children had always asked for pet fish. And so the rule was, well, we're going to have a Lego fish here, and you need to put out Lego food for the fish and take away Lego deposit from the fish every day for a month. And if you can do that every day for a month, then you can have a goldfish. And I think this happens quite a few times before finally one of the children was allowed to have a fish. I've seen the condition of the fish, actually. It's not looking too healthy. But that's another story. There's a sense here that we need to use what God has made us responsible for. If a sense of use it or lose it. It's not about how much we've been given. It's not about the quantity. It's actually about being willing to take on that responsibility and be faithful in what we've been given. It might not look successful. It might not be about popularity. But if we're faithful, even with small things, we find that Jesus will greet us and give us this reward. Well done, my good and faithful servant. For those who are here regularly, you'll know we're coming to the end. This is actually the end of our series looking at Matthew as Emmanuel. And to me, this parable just leaves us with that question. Oh, so God's given you all this. God's given us this good news. God's given us this call to go and make disciples. What are you going to do with that responsibility, with what God has given you? I want to take a moment to ponder that, to encourage you to think on that. In a minute, we're going to sing a song. And I've got a little something, hopefully just about enough for everybody. Just as a response, some gold chocolate coins. And something for you to just remind you of this, that God's given you something immensely valuable, real gold, not chocolate although some of you might consider chocolate immensely valuable. Depends where you're at. God's given you something of great value, of great worth. What will you do with it? And there's a card in there with a couple of verses on, and one's this verse from 1 Samuel. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. And you might like to take that and put it somewhere to remind you of it. You might like to, later on, spend some time eating that chocolate and use that as an opportunity to think and ponder the responsibility you have and what you're going to do about it. I encourage you to take those and use it as a way of thinking this through a bit further and reminding yourself of what God has made us responsible for.